just waiting for the city assembly meeting to get underway. On tonight's agenda is a resolution temporarily amending city code to allow the city to declare a local emergency in response to COVID-19 and a request for state and federal assistance. Those and other issues on tonight's agenda, starting up any minute now. Tonight's City and Borough Juneau Assembly meeting will also be streamed on Facebook Live. Go to the City and Borough of Juneau's Facebook page and you can tune in and watch the meeting from home.
Individual action. Wash your hands, cover your cough, don't touch your face, practice social distancing like we are in chambers tonight. Stay home if you are sick. Tell other people to stay home if they are sick. New this weekend, to self-quarantine for 14 days if you traveled to an area experiencing community transmission. And I think the message to the community is we're all in this together, and it's up to everyone to help protect their friends and neighbors and do their part. We're all in this together on the transmission of coronavirus, and we're all in this together as a community, and we're starting to feel the economic effects as well. We have a lot of small businesses that are very concerned about cash flow, and if there was ever a time to figure out how to focus your economic activity locally, now would be that time. Very, very important. Today at the national level, President Trump outlined a strategy titled 15 Days to Slow the Spread. You can go to the CDC webpage, coronavirus.gov. What the message at the CDC page, it's very much the same message that we've been pushing locally, those individual health actions and care for older people and additional social distancing for older people and people with underlying health conditions. So the federal message at coronavirus.gov. At the statewide level, the Division of Public Health puts out a daily update, and the state page is coronavirus.alaska.gov. And I gave you the number of cases that they have listed. Many people saw that in Anchorage, Mayor Berkowitz issued an order closing bars and restaurants. I do not have that recommendation at this time. And again, I would be basing that on the fact that we have no confirmed cases in Juneau. I recognize for the public that it is tough to reconcile local actions with national actions. And the speed of communication, I think, makes us want to have the one-size-fits-all approach, and that may or may not be appropriate here in Juneau. I think on the national level, I'm seeing a sense of urgency for the nation from the president and from the CDC, and we saw the governor issue the blanket 15-day school closure on Friday evening. And I think they are very much focusing on that because it really is pretty difficult to make up broad guidance to the public with little exceptions here and there. So I think the message to the public has to be that our state and national leaders really do expect the virus to spread and propagate, and they are recommending seriously those broad measures. Here in Juneau, we've fallen in line with the governor. And following his announcement on Friday night with the closure of schools, we have closed what we have determined to be like facilities, and that would be library, pools, Zach Gordon Youth Center, and other activities. We've also limited activities that are recreation activities for seniors to fall in line with the guidance on social distancing for seniors, and there continues to be updates on that. The State Emergency Operations Center activated to a level 3 this weekend, escalating from DHSS to organization under Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, the Homeland Security Division. At Juneau, I would call us between a level 2 and a 3. We are a supporting partner in the unified command of the Emergency Operations Centers. We are in the planning phases, and we are starting to move into operations. Tomorrow, we will have a work group that is working on developing a stand-up drive-through testing center and figuring out all the things that would have to happen to for that to be put in place. And you've probably seen this in the media that other communities have done that. And really the goal is to, when the time is right, reduce the pressure on the emergency room. I want to take this time to mention that there are a number of standing recommendations and directives to reduce the pressure on the healthcare system. So somebody that needs information can call 211, the United Way line, and ask questions. Those that have access to Teladoc can use Teladoc to get medical help. Or if you have a medical provider here in town, the recommendation is that if you are experiencing flu-like symptoms, that you call your medical provider, that you don't show up at your medical provider's office unannounced, or you don't show up at the emergency room unannounced. So tomorrow we'll be talking about that drive-through center, and when that becomes appropriate, that would provide a initial screening that would, again, help de-stress the ER. We also are having a unified logistics meeting on further steps that we would be taking as we activate in response to escalation of the virus. Soon we're going to be in receipt of 10 temporary housing quarantine trailers. And so those will be placed at a location to be determined and be activated if and when they are necessary. We've spent quite a bit of time on quarantine and care strategies for people experiencing homelessness and how to ensure that our shelter providers and public health facilities and hospital staff are able to provide and isolate people experiencing homelessness properly, and how those people can be transported and be in the right and most efficient location. So quite a bit of time on that, quite a bit of focus on providing respite housing for individuals that are having healthcare needs, and that makes it not appropriate for them to be in the shelter, yet not so severe to be in the hospital. An example of that would be the more common flu, of which we have quite a bit in the community. We also, I believe, in the community are really starting to focus a lot on economic impacts. I think the reality of the effects on the cruise ship season are well upon us. We've seen cruise ships in the news in many ways over the past week. Self-limitation from CLIA, the cruise line trade group, a partial temporary closure of the Port of Seattle in early April, and a directive from the Canadian Premier not allowing cruise ships into Canada until July 1, which effectively disallows cruise ships into Alaska because of federal legislation that is in place. I will also update you on the Westerdam. So I believe the Westerdam is about to arrive in Hawaii. I've been advised today that the Westerdam has changed its plans and is not coming to Juneau, or is not planning to come to Juneau. A lot of big changes in the cruise ship world. So the industry, I believe, are trying to figure out how and where to lay up ships until it becomes clear that they will be able to operate again. And I don't really have information on that, but there are a lot of cruise ships out there, and the industry is trying to figure out what their next steps are. But the Westerdam was proposed to come to Juneau, believing that it would need a short period of time before the start of the Alaska cruise season, and Juneau was a good location to start the Alaska cruise season. However, I think we're all understanding that the Alaska cruise season is not starting in April as anticipated, and is likely to not happen until at least July 1, if not much later, and possibly not even this summer. I anticipate a lot of discussion in the community on the economic impacts of coronavirus specifically, and of loss of cruise ship visitation as well. We are beginning discussions to try and collect information and feed that up to our congressional delegation so that their efforts in passing federal legislation can be as helpful as possible to Juneau and to our business community. A great concern for our small businesses and the employees of those small businesses. As a result of closure of our public facilities, notably pools, library, and museums at Gordon, we will be reassigning staff to work at other facilities. We have canceled work-related travel until the foreseeable future. We have a number of personnel and HR policies and procedures and issues that we are working through. We are modeling potential economic impacts to the municipal budget, municipal revenues, as we work through the budget discussions. We are continuing to attempt to push out information best we can to the public through social media channels. We've got ads in the paper. We have public service announcements on the radio. We had the mayor, the deputy mayor, Mr. Edwardson, Assemblymember Treem, myself, all do radio spots, and we are writing scripts for others that I think will be necessary soon. So the rest of the assembly members, we need your voices for those as well. And I will say that the first wave of radio spots, we certainly focused on the health message and the sanitation messages. And I think it's important that we focus in this next wave also on the community message. And if I could say one thing, is that we really have to reinforce the feeling and the truth that we are in this together. We've seen a lot of activity at the grocery stores, and we understand that. We understand the concern and the desire to pack the freezer. But we're not going to make it as a community if we don't lend a hand to each other, an elbow bump to each other, share the resources that we have. Amongst the city, we definitely have interdepartmental sharing of employees now in cleaning supplies, and in the community, I think the focus on making sure that seniors and those that with vulnerable health conditions are getting attention, are getting phone calls, just to talk to them if they're housebound or they're not getting out. You know, give them somebody to talk to if they're getting offers of grocery shopping, if they're getting encouragement in navigating, finding out information. We really are in this together. We have a small town, and the power of individuals to act is great. So with that, Madam Mayor and Assembly, I would be happy to answer any questions on coronavirus planning at the municipality.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I could hold it till the end. Mine is more of a comment and a request than it is a question.
All right. Any questions?
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead, Ms. Hale, I believe that is.
That is Ms. Hale. Thank you. Mr. Manager, I just want to thank you for and your staff for your round-the-clock work, and it's really showing, and I really, really appreciate all the outreach and all of the work. The question I have is I've heard from various places that testing is hard to get in Juneau, and I just wondered if you could speak to what the criteria are for testing and if there are instances where people are not being tested, because if they're not being tested, then we don't have an actually accurate number. And you and I have talked a little bit about this, but I wonder if you could just speak to testing requirements in Juneau.
Madam Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead.
Ms. Hale, I don't have the state protocol memorized. I do know that there has been frustration and that all the people that want to get tested have not. I have asked ASHNA, the State Nursing Home Association, to work through that logistically with the state. And I do know that some of the pressure is on the limited supplies that the state has, although I do believe that there is expected to be a lot more testing available soon. I can't answer the question of exactly what you have to meet to get the tests, as I believe that may be evolving.
Super. Well, I really appreciate that. And thank you very much for your attention to that and for reaching out to ASHNA.
Mr. Smith, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Watt, I guess, you know, you were talking about prevention, how it's a community effort, and maybe you could speak a little bit to the term flattening the curve and why it's important that younger, healthy people also seek to not spread the virus. Anyway, speak to that theme, please.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. So flattening the curve, a phrase that's been trending quite a bit, and the idea is that as the virus transmits, many people will get it, and depending on how the community responses, we will all get it in a peak with a steep curve, or it will slowly transmit through the community and we'll have a flattened curve. The concept is that by social distancing, we will limit transmission, and transmission will happen over a longer period of time. By self-quarantining when ill, by washing our hands, by cleaning solid surfaces, again, we will delay the transmission, and that as the virus spreads in a flattened manner, we will not overwhelm our healthcare facilities. So the concern I think that we all have is that we do not want to get overwhelmed and have our limited healthcare facility and staff overwhelmed like we've seen in Italy. And in Italy, they're having to make very difficult decisions because they just have too many who are in need of critical care all at once. And if we can all do our part individually and severally, and we can slow the transmission, then we are protecting the healthcare facilities for those in need and spreading out their need over time. And thank you, Mr. Smith. Flattening the curve, it's a good phrase. It's catchy. I think we are all learning it, and we all, I think, can do our part.
Very good. Thank you.
Ms. Blaschewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the flattening the curve thing, we were all concerned across the nation about our healthcare capacity. It's not just Juneau. Juneau, we happen to know that there's one hospital. It's true everywhere in the nation. So that's why I flattened the curve to to protect our healthcare workers. I've heard some concern about Bartlett, and I wonder if you could speak about the capacity there. For example, to correct the record regarding the number of ventilators do you know what I'm talking about?
Madam Deputy Mayor, I recall the email, but I don't remember the number specifically.
Okay, so I'll answer my own question. Mr. Bill misspoke last Monday and said that there were two, and what he meant that there were two new fancy ones, is my understanding. Now, this is the layperson's explanation, so please healthcare people will correct me. But there are some portable ones in the hospital, and there are some ones in the operating room, which are slightly different, which are mostly operated by anesthesiologists, but they are training more staff on all of them. So there are more like 10 than like two. There's not an exact number because of various, depends on how you count. But I just wanted to correct the record that there's more than two.
So, Madam, if I may, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
So I found the email. So it's actually more like 12 once they assemble the various grades. So two top of the line, seven portables, and they have Some other ones that is used for anesthesia that can be repurposed, so they really have 12 as the number.
All right, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't recall which coronavirus COVID-19 meeting that was, but I thought we had asked that question before, and one of the answers was that the state of Alaska had a bank or a supply of respirators. And so we weren't depending on just Bartlett's supply, but also the state had a supply of. My memory's horrible. I don't know. All right.
Sorry. Mr. Matisse is in the back, so if we could pull him up, that would be great.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and the Assembly. The State Department of Health has a warehouse with limited resources available. I questioned them last week on the number of ventilators. They said they still did have some, but they could not give me the number offhand. But in previous conversations, that's how we obtained some for Bartlett, and I know there's still cash at the state level that would be viewed for regional distribution as areas flare up and have need.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Ms. Blasius?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. One more about the Emergency Operations Center and the logistics question, because we have been received some questions regarding food deliveries and various logistic questions. Could you talk about how the planning for that is going and that there is planning, just to let people know that we are thinking about those things in advance and how's that going?
Who wants that one?
I'm glad to address that.
Thank you, Mr.
So we've set up a logistics hotline for medical supplies for our providers. If people have supplies that they need, they can basically email covid.logistics@juno.org and tell us what they have presently, what they have on back order, when they expect that, what their daily burn rate is, and what they need from us. And we'll work with the state through the Emergency Operations Center to be able to provide those resources to the best of our ability. We're working with private providers primarily up front to be able to ensure that they have the PPE and other resources they need to be able to continue to respond.
Follow up. So, Mr. Matisse, that's about the healthcare logistics. What about the other logistics that people are starting to wonder about, like when the barge comes and those sorts of things?
Sure. You know, the barges and things at the operational level, at the state level, the state's working on. Here locally, we're working with a lot of different working groups to understand the different pieces. Meals on Wheels, for example, meals for school kids, for example, meals for the respite program, for example, and a lot of those other working groups are happening here at the local level to address those individual logistics challenges.
All right, Mr. Smith.
Madam Mayor, just to tag onto that, I did see, I believe it was a press release from Linden today about that they were have continued scheduled barge service as has been going on, and they are prepared and cargo will continue to flow. There will be supplies coming into town.
Thank you for that. And that's also the message we got from the Admiral when we visited him today. So, Ms. Lashes.
Can I just follow up more again regarding the logistics? And are there teams that are meeting regularly about that already, or will there be?
Most definitely. There's been several small working groups already, and there will be continue to be people added to those working groups. Even recently, the local Rotary clubs, some of them, I can't remember which ones, had said that they had an interest in supporting feeding and food delivery. So as we continue to look at the bigger picture and we continue to get outreach from support organizations, we'll continue to network those issues.
So, Mr. Matisse, if somebody wants to get in, give their name to you or get in that game, how do they do that?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, you can send me an email at tom.matisse@juno.org. We're still working on volunteer coordination. We've been doing outreach with the state. The state has a program called Alaska Respond, which is a pre-credentialing system for volunteers, and we're really trying to force most of our volunteers to register through that resource so that when we call on volunteers, they're pre-credentialed, pre-vetted, and working. But once again, we're still exploring all avenues, both from the state and from locals, and we want to do the best we can.
Great. Thank you for that work.
All right, Mr. Watt wants to speak.
Madam Mayor, I've just advised you that Fairbanks is about to hold a press conference. Apparently, they have a positive case in Fairbanks.
All right. Thank you for that. And do you know anything more about it? Is it isolated or is it?
We don't know. They just put out the notice that the press conference is happening shortly.
All right. Thank you. Well, when your staff hears about it, because we'll be in a meeting to let them know. So I just had a couple questions. several businesses in town, people may be aware, may not be, have laid off several people. So the concern that I've heard already is, what about rent? What about mortgage payments? Who would be a good resource for them to get in touch with to ask questions about that?
Madam Mayor, there is, let me just get into my email here for a second, the Alaska Housing Development Company, Greening Park, as most of us know it locally. They do have a short-term rental assistance program for renters, households with single earners and families, and they have an existing program. So I don't know about their funding level. My guess is that program is going to get hit pretty hard pretty soon. So I would not be surprised if the rental assistance program is going to be looking for funding support.
Okay. And at some point, we could potentially look at our housing, affordable housing fund, and give them a grant or something.
That's right, Madam Mayor. The Assembly could look at providing financial support to that existing program. So if you wanted to do that using that existing program, probably would be the easiest way, to most effective way to do that.
Okay, Mr. Smith, you want to jump in?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was really glad to hear about the focus on the potential economic impacts. I know that's been a big concern for a lot of people. Someone brought up to me today how during the avalanche and the major hike in electricity cost, 13th, whatever, that there was things done by the city as well as local businesses, and I want to even say the banking industry, in terms of trying to relieve some stress and pressure on local businesses. And I guess just encourage, you know, I imagine you're doing those things already, but if you're just reaching out to anyone who might be able to muster resources or help with the economic impacts.
Madam Mayor, if I might, you are correct. When there was when the avalanche occurred and ALMP had to switch to diesel and rates went up, the Assembly did address that issue. They did create a program whereby people could have access to funds on an emergency basis to pay their bills, and they dedicated a source of funding for that. It's my understanding that no one actually ended up using that piece of it. It's, if I'm remembering correctly from that time as well, you're right, the banks did, I think, work with people who might have gotten behind on payments because they had higher than normal utility bills. I think there was quite a bit of community understanding about the economic hardships related to that piece.
All right, and then I have another question too. Again, having to do with the economic issues that we have on hand, I've received several calls from several small businesses and their concern that some of them may even have to shut down. We had discussed this morning at the staff meeting about setting up a team with the finance director. Are we going to do that? Are we looking at doing something else to look at how many businesses that might affect and how we can help them, or at least point them into good resources?
Madam Mayor, I would say we were at a primitive state on that topic. We recognize the uncertainty that business community faces, and we also recognize that some of them are going to feel the need to take action soon to protect their assets. This problem is big enough that I think it is going to require significant federal action to save us from that. We have provided lists of ideas to the congressional delegation that we hope will end up in the emergency funding that Congress is contemplating.
Thank you. Any further questions from anybody?
Madam Mayor.
Ms. Hale.
Relative to the questions in terms of economic help for both businesses and for people who are suffering the fallout and have to eat and pay their rent. I believe there's also some talk of providing some kind of assistance at the state level or maybe freeing up programs. So just wanted to mention that as well.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Glashefs.
Just, I don't want to speak for the governor, but I did listen to his press conference this afternoon, and he gave a similar answer in that we're concerned about the health, reducing the spread and addressing the health impacts first, and conversations regarding economics are in the works. But the message now is flatten the curve, and certainly the governor recognizes there will be other actions necessary. I'm just paraphrasing. We'll listen to it yourself, but that's what he said.
Any further questions? Ms. Treem, do you have a question?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Edwardson, do you have a comment?
I do, and a request, and I'll dial up to it. The favorite part of my former career was preparing people for this type of event, both in the short term, the immediate response, and then how to handle the stress and the fatigue in the long term, how to deal with it, and how to recognize things and their colleagues in order to make sure that teams operate well. I've been in the field during disasters. I've seen panic. I've seen people shine. I've seen people panic. Nobody is panicking right now that I've seen. And I've heard probably three or four times tonight panic being mentioned. So there's no panic going on. When somebody disagrees with me, disagrees with my opinion vehemently, they're not panicking. They're disagreeing with my opinion. People who are stocking up because they didn't first stock up like the Emergency Management Division told them to do, stock up 2 weeks worth of stuff. They're stocking up now, and thousands of them didn't do it before, and the store shelves are empty. They're not panicking, and the store shelves will get filled again. Being angry because we're not doing something that people think that we should be doing, or we are doing something that they don't think that we should be doing, that's not panicking. That's just disagreeing. So I haven't seen anybody personally panicking in this situation. And I kind of feel like when we say that, we're vilifying people who disagree with us a little bit. And I would ask that we don't do that.
Madam Mayor?
Ms. Treem? Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Is Ms. Hale?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Hale, sorry.
I'll have to make my voice different enough from Ms. Treem that you can always tell me. I just wanted to thank Mr. Edwardson. I've definitely heard that term panic, and I've heard the term calm down and don't panic, and I agree with him. I don't think people are panicking. I think people are very concerned, and I think people are also seeing that things are happening. CBJ is right out there, and things are happening at the state and national level. So, Mr. Edwardson, thank you very much. I think that's really, really important. I'm not seeing that as well. And also, I agree, if you go out to the CDC website, they tell you to stock up, and so that's what people are doing. And so thank you, Mr. Edwardson. I think that's important to put out there.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just, I guess, to confirm so the public knows that you're obviously watching these things and following CDC guidelines, I mean, in terms of some of the actions that people have written to us about today, you know, stopping all public gathering in restaurants and bars and closing those things and taking some of these actions that are being done elsewhere in the country, there are triggers recommended by the CDC for when those actions take place, and we as a community are not there yet. Is that correct?
Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, I don't know that I would phrase it as triggers. I think as a community, we're trying to follow the state. So when the governor issued guidelines, we're trying to follow that. So the best example is the schools, and we immediately followed with Pools Library, Museum, and Youth Center. There are other advisory issues that CDC has put out. So, for example, today CDC and the president recommended avoid bars, avoid restaurants, avoid unnecessary travel, and I think groups larger than 10. So my read of those things is avoid rather than
like in the case of the schools, close schools. So certainly, I think none of us in your core city staff or on the borough assembly, we're not public health people. I think our best position is to follow the lead of the state and mirror those requirements as best as we're able. I've had a lot of, I'll take a little side channel. We've had a lot of questions and comments about Eagle Crest. And so people have asked, is Eagle Crest a large gathering of people? You know, so CDC is saying no gatherings of, you know, rock concerts and weddings, 250 people. I've taken the view, and this is under the control of the ski area manager and ski area board, that outdoor recreation, like Eagle Crest, is pretty healthy. And the community does benefit a lot from getting outside. And I've recommended that they try to manage the ski area with social distancing measures in place, so that we do have that outlet for activity. So it's not always a neat one-to-one fit. But I think our go-to position is to follow the state's direction.
Very good. Thank you.
Ms. Blaszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On that, in talking about that sort of thing, a few days ago I had said that I wish we had Goldilocks on our team because she would know exactly when to do things. And so we don't have Goldilocks right now, but what we have is science and medicine and taking the cues from the data. When there is a too soon, too late, I would err on the too soon, and I think that I think the state of Alaska has done that. The governor closed schools before many governors who had more community transmission did. So that is a cue to me that he is not too late. So doesn't mean we couldn't do something, and the mayor of Anchorage did close bars, but I would advocate for too soon rather than too late. And the attitude that I've heard from everyone who's working on this issue in the city is too soon, let's do it too soon rather than too late. Exactly when that is a judgment call that we look to science and data and Dr. Zink and the CDC for. So too soon rather than too late is, I don't think anybody here that I've heard in any conversations I've had that we've been having for several weeks, that's not the tack we should take, and that's what I would argue for.
Thank you, Ms. Blaszewski. And I'll just echo a little bit that our staff is working on this nonstop, and they are getting constant feedback from the state, especially public health. So we're not just waiting for press conferences. We are actively seeking information, and this is going to be a good time to thank all of our staff who has done an excellent job of trying to stay ahead of this and give us the best advice and so we could follow. So any further questions from... before we move on? Ms. Blaszewski.
No further questions. I just looked over at Mr. Everson. I too wanted to thank you for your comments. I really appreciate them. I think that's a good
point. And just a comment that my husband, of all people, said that remember that the shelves are probably empty also because the ferries started up and the outlying communities probably needed toilet paper and other things and have been here. So just keep that in mind. Everybody needs some supplies. And some of us were caught a little flat-footed because we didn't listen when we were supposed to stock up for 2 weeks. Okay, with that, I don't see any further, so we will move into item D. Mr. Manager, or is that Mr. Palmer that gets that? Thank you, Mr. Petit. We're getting fingers pointed at Mr. Palmer.
Sure. In light of the public health social distancing recommendations, this resolution would temporarily amend the assembly rules of procedure to do three things. One, allow up to five assembly members to participate by telephone. Two, encourage seating for members of the public to be 3 to 6 feet apart. And three, encourage CBJ public meetings with substantial public interest.
Mr. Palmer, I went out of sequence. I apologize. Madam Clerk, will you read the title?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Resolution 2883, a resolution temporarily amending resolution 2862 related to the assembly rules of procedure and COVID-19. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Palmer, would you continue?
Let's see. Members of the public will still be provided a public comment opportunity at meetings. However, members of the public are encouraged to email the assembly or to use the online assembly contact form to provide public comments. The social distancing recommendations for COVID-19 were discussed at the Special Committee of the Whole on March 9th. Additional COVID-19 updates were provided at the Assembly Finance Committee meeting on March 11th. And then tonight, this item was reviewed by the Human Resources Committee and referred to the Assembly for supportive action.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. And before we go further, I want to thank Mr. Edgerton for all of his work he did on this, because that's where his expertise showed. So I'm going to break tradition a little bit here. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this resolution? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Resolution 2883, resolution temporarily amending Resolution 2862 related to the Assembly Rules of Procedure in COVID-19. I ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Any objections?
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Couple of questions that I had, if I might.
Go ahead.
The quorum for the five participating members of the assembly. Some of this resolution applies to other boards and commissions like the Planning Commission and others. Section 1 does not only applies to the assembly. So the Planning Commission couldn't have five of their members on the phone. Is that correct?
Mr. Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. You are correct. This ordinance does not apply to the Planning Commission because the Planning Commission by ordinance is to provide for their own rules. However, this section would apply to almost all the other boards and commissions because they are required to comply with the Assembly Rules of Procedure. However, there are a few, I don't know if it's quite a handful, but it's roughly a handful, Planning Commission being the shining star, that they do have their own rules of procedure and they do not have to follow the assembly rules.
Further question, Mr. Jones?
Yes. Since this is an emergency, the assembly has the right to override the rules set by the Planning Commission, correct?
Mr. Palmer, you can't just nod.
Yes, the assembly can do that. If we need to do that, we would need to do it by ordinance.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
I have lots of questions. Under Section 2C, it says the chair of a committee, board, or commission has discretion unless overruled by the majority vote if and how a meeting should be broadcast. Down under E, it says public meetings with essential items in which the public is to comment should be allowed. Non-essential public meetings must be canceled. The chair of the committee has the discretion. So a chair of a committee can say, we're not going to meet, or we are going to meet. But the committee itself can't overrule the chair, except overrule whether or not it be broadcast. And my question is, if the chair of the Planning Commission, the chair of Sales Tax Commission, chair of Board of Equalization, decided to not hold a meeting because they didn't figure it was important, there's no ability for the majority of those members to overrule the chair. And I'm wondering if that's a flaw that we need to look at. Maybe not tonight, but it would seem to me that if somebody's protesting their sales tax or protesting their property tax or protesting their assessment, and the chair says, nah, we're not going to meet because this isn't important, to that individual, it's very important. And if the other members of the committee can't overrule the chair somehow, I think that's a major flaw.
Mr. Jones, are you suggesting some word?
I'm not suggesting anything. I am raising questions because I don't think this is well thought out. We heard from the manager, we heard from citizens, that the economic cost to small businesses is going to be great. If the Planning Commission can't do their business, if some of the other committees can't do their business, it creates economic harm to the businesses. And if we're going to allow the chair of a committee without the oversight of the other committees to make those decisions, I think is wrong. And we want checks and balances over the manager. I heard that in the HRC committee. But we are not allowing checks and balances below the assembly. I think those are particularly flaws that may need to get corrected and may not be. But I don't have the time or the wherewithal or apparently the brain power to fix this on the fly.
Ms. Glashevsky?
And I have a couple of things as well. If right now it allows five members to be on the phone, if we're planning for the future and the sort of worst case possibility, why doesn't it say nine? That's one question. And not, we would ever want that to happen, but if we're amending this and if this actually governs in an emergency, wouldn't we want it to say everybody could all be on the phone? That's one question. And then on the other end of the spectrum, on D, it says non-essential items, agenda items must be delayed. I could understand it saying may be delayed, but say we do flatten the curve and we want to have meetings about anything we want to have meetings. So it's not clear when this governs. And if, you know, I don't want it to be that non-essential must be delayed if everything's all good. So that's, and again, because this is sort of a, that's my comment.
Ms. Gladyshevsky.
Madam Mayor.
Ms. Treem, you're after Mr. Edwardson and Ms. Hughes-Scannies, but I'm going to go with Mr. Palmer first because I think he's trying to answer the question.
Well, and there's a Ms. Hale in there.
Okay.
Let me see if I can't at least give you an answer on both of those, and there may be other members of the body that want to chime in. So why five versus nine? I think the initial idea was five to provide spaces on the dais for assembly members to be separated 3 to 6 feet apart. You can definitely change that if you desire. I think there is a concern to go to all nine that we need to figure out how to run the meeting, and it might be helpful to have the chairperson at the physically present if there's information being presented, but you have discretion over that. On D, why the language that says non-essential public meetings must be canceled. That was very deliberate, and it was direction to make it clear that the assembly wanted non-essential items not to happen. That way the boards could rely on the assembly and say, you know what, the assembly made this direction, gave that direction to us, we're following it. If the body wants to make it discretionary up to the board chair, recognizing Mr. Jones' concerns, I think you have that discretion.
Thank you.
Mr. Edwardson?
Thank you, and Mr. Palmer answered most of that, but one of the things that when I was thinking about this, of course, was the social distancing when it came to the dais, but also it was kind of a middling effect. I don't oppose nine if we can technologically do it. A lot of the meetings that I'm attending now, everybody is attending remotely, and I think it's technically possible. But I do wonder if it's possible, if we have people showing up here to testify, how we would manage that. None of us here, like Mr. Palmer said. So I'm pretty open, and I do think Mr. Jones has a good point. And I think it's something that we probably should talk about.
Okay, Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would echo Mr. Jones' comments. The ability to have the board overrule its chair might be necessary, or that sounds worthy of examining. In regards to the non-essential agenda items being must be delayed, I appreciate that language given the situation and our reason for amendment. I just wanted to point out this sunsets in November, and it could be revisited before then if everything turns out to be great. But I would rather have it be clear direction if we're amending this anyway that do not meet if it's not necessary in order to flatten that curve.
Are you done?
And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just have a question about these guidelines. Is staff communicating with the chairs and the members of the boards and commissions on how to implement these and what they are and that they exist?
They're trying to decide who to answer that. But it looks like
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Watt's going to take it.
It's on the list. So quite honestly, Mr. Jones's point about the Planning Commission, I think, is a really good one. We, for people who are willing to build, the last thing we want to do is slow down construction activity in the community at this time. So I think the Planning Commission is a special case. I think you have other boards that really do want to advance the issues of the community as they can, and Mr. Edwardson noted public testimony poses technological problems. I mean, we obviously can't be meeting over the phone and not allowing the public to watch and participate. So I hear all these issues, and maybe Mr. Palmer has something to add to that.
Mr. Palmer?
I'm shaking my head. I'm trying to figure out how to accommodate Mr. Jones's concerns, and it would be a little bit of work. The idea that I'm toying with is if an agenda is posted and it identifies what items are being proposed to be postponed by the chair, then the body, if it needs to call itself in, if there's a meeting that's proposed to be canceled, or if there's an item that it's scheduled to hear, yet it wants to hear something that's proposed to be postponed, there's probably a way that we could draft that. It would be a little cumbersome, but I think there's probably some way to do that.
Mr. Palmer,
can I follow up really quickly?
Okay, Ms. Treem.
Thanks. Sorry, I guess I wasn't speaking about necessarily Mr. Jones' concerns. I'm just talking about, like, have we, for example, the Aquatics Board, the one that I'm the liaison to, I don't know that they've even heard about this. They've had their own conversations about whether to delay meetings. I'm just talking about, can we let them know that we're doing this resolution and that, you know, they shouldn't be worried about, I think a lot of them are maybe struggling with, should we have a meeting or should we not have a meeting? And if we let them know that we're, you know, implementing some kind of guidelines so they can maybe feel better in their decisions to delay meetings if they have to.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hale?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. I think that everybody's raised some really good issues, and I just wonder if the way that this is phrased might take care of this, because what we say here is the chair of a committee, board, or commission has discretion to determine if a potential agenda item is essential or non-essential. Non-essential public meetings must be canceled, or meetings with non-essential items must be canceled. So that's actually giving that chair, and this might be the Planning Commission, quite a bit of leeway deciding what is essential or non-essential. And you know, the Planning Commission, for example, could decide that, yes, it's essential that building continue if that's able to be, you know, able to continue. So the language as written might take care of this by itself. And one possibility we could do is we could just maybe even amend it today, you know, has discretion to determine if a potential agenda item is essential or non-essential by proposing an agenda, and then add that unless overruled by majority vote. And, you know, I'm not quite sure how that majority vote might come in. Maybe that would be a telephone vote or something like that. and maybe we can't amend quite on the fly, but it almost seems like the language is written gives enough discretion that we could people could carry on.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Palmer, you can tell me if I can do this or not. I know we have a motion on the floor recess to give you a little time to see if you can come up with some language that would satisfy Mr. Jones and others' concerns.
Sure.
Okay, then we will recess for 10 minutes. We'll be hopeful.
Fairbanks has two.
On the next morning edition, the coronavirus slows global shipping to a crawl.
You could be talking anywhere from 15 to 30% of the freight that normally flows in and out of this country will not be happening.
Also, people adjust to social distancing and loneliness.
I mean, my mom will probably be annoyed. I'll probably call my mom a lot.
Stories that affect your world. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is Juneau Assemblymember Carol Treem. The time to act is now. Wash your hands often with soap and warm water for 20 seconds. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Cover coughs and sneezes. Stay 6 feet away from others and avoid shaking hands. These simple, everyday steps can help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Also, and this one's important, stay home when you're sick. Learn more about how to prevent COVID-19 at juneau.org.
You're tuned in to KTOO Juneau, live coverage of the Juneau Assembly meeting. The Assembly is currently taking a recess. They'll be back in about 7 minutes. Once again, you're listening to live coverage of the CBJ Assembly meeting. The Assembly is currently in recess. We're waiting for them to come back. But breaking news out of Fairbanks, two positive COVID-19 cases have been confirmed by the city there. Two older men with separate travel itineraries are currently quarantined. This just in from a press conference in Fairbanks announcing this news. You're listening to KTOO Juno. Sounds like the assembly is coming back. We are listening to live coverage of the Juno
Just
assembly.
Testing, Ms. Treem, do we still have you on the phone?
Yep, I'm here.
And Ms. Hale, do we still have you on the phone?
You do.
Thank you very much. We'll bring us back into session. Mr. Attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have tried to work out a potential language that could be right for an amendment if there is one. I'm not wedded to this, so if you have a better idea after I say it, please make whatever changes you need. So the idea would be on in paragraph D, essential agenda items only, there's a sentence that starts non-essential public meetings must be canceled. So this amendment would go just before that sentence. So the amendment idea would be an agenda with an item the chair proposes to be non-essential shall be publicly posted a reasonable time prior to the meeting. A majority of the members of the body may call the proposed non-essential item for consideration at that meeting within 24 hours of the agenda posting.
Could you say that much slower?
Yes.
Thank you.
An agenda with an item the chair proposes to be non-essential shall be publicly posted a reasonable time prior to the meeting. A majority of the members of the body may call the proposed non-essential item for consideration. At the meeting within 24 hours of agenda posting.
Ms. Blaschep.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I am totally with you all the way to the very end about the calling at the meeting 24-hour part. Can you say that part?
Sure. So the concept is the item can be scheduled for the meeting if a majority of the members notify probably a clerk within 24 hours of the agenda posting. That way the item can be scheduled for the meeting. So right now the vision that I have is that if let's just take a planning commission meeting, something that's a little concrete, an agenda would go out. If the planning commission chair believes there's nothing essential on the agenda, then the meeting would be canceled. And then underneath there would be an area on that agenda that says items proposed by the chair to be non-essential, and then identify them, and they would be rescheduled at a later date. And once that agenda gets posted, the other members of the Planning Commission would have 24 hours to alert the clerk, so the CDD staff, to say we want this item pulled, and then staff would then have to tabulate whether or not there's a majority of members who want an item pulled for consideration at the meeting, and then the meeting would occur. Otherwise, the meeting would not. We're in a little bit of a balancing act to not violate the Open Meetings Act by holding a serial meeting ahead of time, but I think this at least provides a way to have a check and balance on the chair if that concept is what the body wants tonight.
Ms. Blaschep?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the difficulty I'm having is the timing. So it's posted on Thursday. By Friday, they have to object, and then that's the
correct.
Difficult part. And then over the weekend, someone sends them an email saying, do you all object? Or
So the vision that I have is that the members would have to identify that
I would like item B to be taken up.
Correct. And that message would have to be relayed to staff within 24 hours of that agenda posting, and then staff would tabulate, are there a majority of the members who want that item to be considered? And if so, then the agenda would be changed and that item would be held and considered at the meeting. So we have, it's a little bit of a balancing act.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Thank you. Mr.
Edwardson had a question, I believe.
I just wanted to give a little bit of background on this, and I'll go a little bit farther back. But one of the things that I was talking about on the phone during the AFC was continuity of government. And the other thing that I was talking about a little bit earlier is something called team coordination training and knowing how people react under stress. You know, we've changed the way we do things. And the natural reaction is, it's going to stay like this. We changed it, and it's going to stay like this. Things are going to get much different. Staff is going to get sick. Members are going to get sick. And the best time to make decisions is when we have the wherewithal to do it. So in order to have continuity of government, in order to allow us to do things in new ways and make sure that the public can participate and everything's open to the press and there's a record for everything, is to plan things like, you know, what we're trying to do right now, to do it in advance so we don't have to try to do it on the fly with new people under an enormous amount of stress. So that being said, when I first came up with this idea, Mr. Palmer pointed out that I wasn't thinking about the boards and commissions. What my ideas were just for the assembly. So we grafted on boards and commissions stuff with this, but it's really complicated. What we wanted to do is we wanted to provide positive guidance to boards and commissions because these are questions that they have. When do we do this? How do we do this? And we're trying to, rather than give them another problem to deal with, we wanted to say, do this, and then they could just do that. So I'm not opposed to changing it because I don't always have the best ideas in the world. But what I do want to do, what I want to make sure is that we're solving problems for them and not adding more. So I think Mr. Palmer's amendment does that, but that's what I'm looking for out of this. And like I told him, I'm not married to any idea in here. I just want to make sure that we plan in advance what we're going to do when the worst hits.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson.
Madam Mayor, can I jump in line?
Sure, Ms. Train, why don't we go ahead with you?
Okay, thank you. So I like the amendment, but I'm wondering, what if a chair decides that there are no essential agenda items and there wouldn't be an agenda for a meeting that wouldn't happen? Would a board be able to override that decision?
Mr. Palmer?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm nodding my head yes, Ms. Stream. So the vision that I have is that even if a meeting is proposed to be canceled because there's no essential items, the agenda would still have to be published, identifying what items were scheduled but not considered, what the board chair deemed as non-essential, so the other members could weigh in.
And I want to make a comment that that's the kind of guidance I think at some point staff should be giving to the boards.
You were a little unclear, Ms. Train. Could you say that again?
Oh, sure. So that is the kind of guidance I was thinking that the boards and commissions need to get from staff. And I realize there's a lot of other things that staff are doing right now. But that's at some point that could go on the list.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Glashevsky?
I have a motion, and my motion is the words that Mr. Palmer wrote.
So that you have an amendment to the motion.
Yes, yes, ma'am, I do. And to add those words.
Okay, is there any objection to the amendment? Madam Clerk, do you have the amendment? You don't need to read it necessarily, but I'm just making sure you've got it all.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I do have the wording from Mr. Palmer. One note that I would state is anytime we are having people participate telephonically, it would be good to have a roll call vote so that we audibly hear the people on the phone and make sure we're not missing any objection because their phone is muted or anything.
All right. Thank you for that. Any objections to the amendment? And we will give time to our telephonic members.
No. No. And from me.
Thank you. So that amendment has passed. So we're back to the motion. Any objection to the motion?
No.
No.
Thank you, ladies. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. One more question since we dealt with the other issue. The sunset clause in here has it sunsetting on November 24th, which is 6 months, 7 months from now. And while I realize that essential to the definition of an emergency is something that doesn't last 6 months, or the effects may last 6 months, the fact that we, you know, lost some towers for electrical transmission, you know, happened quickly. The effects happened over 2 or 3 years in terms of all kinds of things. What is the balance between saying this is in effect for 6 months unless we, the assembly, do away with it, versus this is in effect for 2 months, and if we want to extend it, then the assembly has to actively extend it. I really am not willing at this point to give up what I perceive as some civil liberties of myself and fellow citizens for 6 months, with the idea that we will be sane enough in 2 months to rescind this. Where's the balancing act and why did you pick Thanksgiving?
Sure.
Mr. Palmer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Two concepts here. One, I wanted to pick a date that was just after an assembly meeting, so it was clear that the assembly would have time prior to it expiring to deal with any extensions if necessary. And the second is I was working off of a concept, this was a week ago, recall, that we still had very little knowledge as how long this COVID 19 circumstance is going to impact us. I don't, sitting here today, think I have any better knowledge. It appears that communities are impacted by this overseas for at least 3 months of active infection, possibly peak issues. Maybe that's less in the United States, depending on how responsive we are. Maybe it's more, and there's also a slight concern that even if we get through this initial period where we're great at social distancing, and then we start relaxing, getting a little complacent, that we have another peak. And so those are the ideas. You are definitely free to change this either direction. Mr. Jones, this was to get it out in front of you and to initiate the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Mr. Jones, do you have an amendment to suggest?
I can get my phone to work.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Edwardson.
I wanted to address that, too. Like I said just a minute ago, one of the reasons why I wanted to have a sunset date after the next election is so if, say we have substitutes here. Say we have a lot of things going on and a lot of stress. I think the last thing that we want to deal with would be a debate on whether to continue doing what we were doing. I think that if we implement this, there isn't a meeting that we have that we couldn't take it out of effect if we wanted to. But, you know, it's a plan. If Mr. Jones changes it to 2 months, I won't oppose that. But we're just adding work for ourselves. When on any meeting, we could actually take it out of effect.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that Section 3, the date November 24, 2020, be replaced with the date May 1, 2020.
Object.
Let me ask if there's any objections first.
Object.
Hey, we have an objection. Do you want to speak to your objection?
Yes, I'd like to speak to my objection. This is Ms. Hale on the phone. I agree with Mr. Edwardson. We can modify this date at any time in the future, and we don't know what our next 1 month, 2 months, 3 months holds for us, which is why we're discussing this in the first place. I completely agree with extending it until after our municipal election, and as Mr. Edwardson said, we can modify it at any time. So for that reason, I think we need to put something in place that will be useful to us, and when it's no longer useful, we can take it out of place.
Thanks, Ms. Hale. Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to speak against this amendment as well. I don't think it's the end of the world if we have to extend it, if the members of the body would prefer to go with Mr. Jones' route. I just think, hearing Mr. Edwardson talk, that it makes sense to me, looking at everything that we know about the situation, watching other places, that it's been in effect longer. This seems like a reasonable window, and I don't think that there is anything in this at this moment that is going too far to where I would be worried about it going the length of until November. So I don't think this is impacting folks, except it might impact us positively if things aren't going well. So I'll be.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Candies. I think that's Ms. Treem on the phone.
Yes. Could I ask Mr. Jones to repeat the date that he said in his amendment?
Mr. Jones.
May 1st, 2020.
Thank you.
Ms. Blaszewski.
I'll just briefly speak against the motion. I think May 1 is too soon. I think it's very easy to make us stop doing this. But adding a thing that someone has to remember to get it on the agenda to extend it, I don't think we need to be doing that May 1st, so I'll speak again.
All right, we have an amendment and we have objection. Madam Clerk, will you note the roll, please? Call roll.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Jones, for the amendment of the sunset date from 11/24/2020 to May 1, 2020.
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
No.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Ms. Glanishevsky?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Ms. Treen?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. And Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion fails. 2 yeas, 7 nays.
All right, that brings us back to the main motion. Any objection? Mr. Jones?
As amended.
As amended, sorry. We're voting on the motion as amended by Mr. Palmer's language. And Mr. Jones had his hand up. Mr. Jones.
I object. I've already talked to most of my objections.
All right. Anybody else want to speak? Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess just one thing. As I look this over again, I understand why we're doing it. One thing that just comes to mind is, like, it doesn't mean business of the city and borough and these committee boards and commissions need to stop. It's a prioritization, and I'm not going to bother trying to do an amendment or anything, but just that it's to prevent kind of unnecessary contact and not providing a social distancing is maybe more of the thrust. But I can prioritization and not having meetings if there's nothing really to work on, that's better than trying to mess around with chairs and sanitizer. So, but anyway.
Was that your way to speak to the motion?
I don't know what that was.
All right, we have a motion on the floor as amended. Madam Clerk, will you call roll?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bryson, in favor of the motion to pass Resolution 2883 as amended.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyshevsky?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Treen?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion passes 8-1.
All right, that brings us to item E, still on the special order of business. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Resolution 2884, a resolution of the City and Borough of Juneau declaring a local emergency in response to COVID-19 and a request for state and federal assistance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager, are you taking this one?
Madam Mayor. The health and safety of our community is priority one. This resolution would allow the CBJ to access state and federal resources to help support Bartlett Regional Hospital, Capital City Fire and Rescue, Juneau Police Department, and open financial support options for businesses and local government. For example, this declaration can expedite hiring of medical providers and procurement of supplies for the hospital and fire department. This declaration can also initiate the process for businesses to qualify for federal loans and grants. This declaration would also allow the City and Borough of Juneau to seek reimbursement for its costs in addressing COVID-19. I recommend you adopt this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this resolution? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Scandes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Resolution 2884 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? I'm assuming there's nothing on the phone because I have heard nothing.
No, I have no objection. No.
All right. With that, that resolution passes. Okay, moving down our agenda, manager's request for agenda changes.
I have no agenda changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Public participation on non-agenda items. Any member of the public wish to speak on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move us to the consent agenda.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't have the agenda that you're following, and I can't find where it is, but isn't there usually an item for assembly request for agenda changes?
We're getting there. We're on the consent agenda. That is B. We're on item A. Any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction?
Thank you.
Okay. Here you go, Ms. Hale. Any assembly requests for consent agenda changes?
Madam Mayor,
I just have a question.
All right. Before you go, Ms. Hale, we are going to say goodbye to our Facebook Live people because we just brought you on board for the coronavirus information. So we will disconnect that, but you can hear us on the radio if you so desire. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of turn, but as I said, I don't seem to have the current agenda. In terms of the resolutions that we just passed, is working through the consent agenda and the rest of the assembly packet essential, and is this the right time to make that call?
The consent agenda item, unless there's any disagreement, should pass quickly, and we have items on our public hearing that need to be passed to make some things move. So,
thank you, Madam Mayor.
At the staff meeting this morning, and we kept the items on the agenda for that very reason.
Thank you.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I was wanting to pull Ordinance 2019-07A, the ordinance appropriating and de-appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY20 school district operations, and I was wanting to put that back into Finance Committee.
Okay.
Do I need to speak to it, Madam Mayor?
I'm looking to Mr. Palmer a little bit for this one. Do we need to take a vote on that?
So this is a proper motion that Mr. Bryson can make to refer it back to Assembly Finance Committee. If the body has objection, then a vote would be required.
All right, Mr. Bryson.
Wait, a procedural question.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, thank you. Is not the motion just to, the motion is to take it off the consent agenda and then we put it on the agenda to talk about it. Isn't that what the motion is supposed to be right now? It's not to be do something about it. The question was, does it remain on the consent agenda or not? So that's the threshold question. And he has made that motion and then we stick it in the queue for hearing. Is that not what is proper?
So.
Ms. Blaschefi, that's why I asked the lawyer, because it was a little bit different. Go ahead, Mr. Palmer.
So Mr. Bryson can make a motion to have something removed from consent because it's an ordinance for introduction. The question is for the Assembly what to do with it. It's being introduced, so it's being presented, but until you formally decide what to do with it, it doesn't exist yet, if that makes sense. So if you want to bifurcate it to say it's removed from consent, and then have the debate, you can do that. If you just want to have the question of whether it should be sent to Assembly Finance, you can do that as well. It's up to you.
All right. Okay, Mr. Bryson, would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I have been a big supporter of the school districts. We've always been great supporters of it. But when we made the decision to go ahead and increase the $279,000, we're in a completely different financial position than we're in right now. I would stipulate that we've lost more than that in sales tax revenue from the loss of sales in our community. And the ease of which that this passed through finance, we were just in a different position at the time when we made that decision. And I just thought it would be, we already know that we're going to be in financial troubled times, and at some point we have to draw the line and say austere measures have to begin. And I just thought that with what we're facing, that it was appropriate to put this back in financing and determine, is this the best time to take $579,000 out of the city coffers and give it to the school district when we don't know what our financial future is? The school district is also asking us for millions of dollars in deferred maintenance, and during this time period, we will still have to work on our schools. We're still going to have to do deferred maintenance, and so to take just a pause and not just give every single nickel that the school district asked for, I just think that this is an appropriate, financially responsible measure for this assembly to take by putting it back in finance committee and making sure we have enough money to pay for all the requests that we're going to get, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This passed the finance committee on March 11th. Only 5 days ago. Before we did that, we had a robust discussion from the finance director about the perceived impact on our finances. He spent a long time talking about that. None of us made that motion or didn't object to the motion. It passed unanimously out of the finance committee. We have an opportunity to have public hearing in a couple of weeks since this will be set for the next assembly meeting. Maybe we'll have more information. I don't think we know and have nothing in writing in 5 days about a worsening situation. I don't disagree that we are going to face worsening situation. We currently have over 4,500 kids that aren't in school. They're not going to be in school for another 2 weeks. Maybe they won't be back in school at all this year. If I'm going to err on overspending, it's going to be on essential services, education, fire, police, hospital. So I think the assembly, as a finance committee, didn't object to this, and I would object to it coming back. It's not $579,000. The $300,000 was one that we'd already appropriated and just hadn't done the bookwork. So it's really this $279,000. And if this community can't afford $279,000 this year for our kids, then maybe we don't belong here. Thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Okay. Ms. Hale, you're after Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'm not quite sure I'm in new territory here with this, so I don't know if I'm objecting or if we're just in discussion or what, but I'll just keep on going ahead. I agree with Mr. Jones. I think we've already covered this ad nauseum. This is something that when we approve these things, when we have a certain course of conduct, the school district makes its plans based on that. And if we're not good for our word, then that might end up costing more than not going ahead with it. I do think that it's important to fund our schools, to fund the programs, even in tight times. We're going to have tight times coming up, but I don't know that we should place that on the heads of our children. And the other one thing that I'll say is, you know, I don't look at it as the school district coming hat in their hand, you know, asking for things that are unreasonable. What the school district is doing is pointing out what deferred maintenance is needed. So they're observing and reporting. I don't think they've been negligent. I think they've been keeping track of stuff, and I think they're asking for what it is that needs to fix the buildings. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will just point out that at the next regular assembly meeting, it will be set for public hearing, and we will vote on it at that time. So we don't have to kick it back to finance to re-vote. We will have another opportunity to vote and discuss this.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will be brief, as the other members have already addressed my talking points. I would just say that my memory of that finance committee was very grim indeed, and So I think since we don't have a lot of new information, I think everybody was informed when they didn't object. And considering we get to vote on it in the future, I see no reason to take it off now. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Candies. Mr.
Madam Mayor.
You're after Mr. Jones, Ms. Dream.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Mayor, I would just point out that in this ordinance is the appropriation of the state money that's going to come anyway, which we need to pass. So I think a better option other than sending the entire ordinance back is when it comes back before the assembly, if a member wants to remove the $279,500 as a contribution, they can make an amendment at that time. We do need to pass the ordinance to appropriate the $1.2 million that is coming from the state.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First, I'm going to say, Mr. Jones and Ms. Matuszewski, I can barely hear either of you, but in terms of the motion that's in front of us or the ideas in front of us, I agree with Ms. Hughes-Candies. I think I'm a little traumatized from that Finance Committee meeting and the picture that we got from Mr. Rogers. And I do agree with Mr. Bryson that we are going to have to take a hard look at our budget going forward, but I think this is the absolute wrong place to do it. We would be talking about not funding to the cap, and I realize that this ordinance and this appropriation is the first one to come before us since that meeting, but I think this is the absolute wrong place to be starting those budget moves.
Thank you, Ms. Treem. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. At last Wednesday's finance, and I checked a couple of notes to make sure, we had not lost the 2 months. The Canadian Prime Minister had not closed Canada on Wednesday. That happened on Thursday. So we were only looking at missing 3 cruise boats was the financial future that we were looking at that time. Not one restaurant in the country had been closed at that time. So 5 days has made a substantial financial difference in where we are sitting. And that's the reason why I looked at this, and I thought about this all day long. Was this worth me stepping in? I know I'm telling the school district, wait a second, we can't give you money right now. So I know how big a deal that is, and I know that at least one or two of the people sitting in the audience are going to give me, I'm going to get backlash for this. But I'm trying to tell you guys right now, we've lost more than $279,000 in sales tax revenue in those same 5 days. So, yes, we passed it on Wednesday. Yes, it was difficult to do on Wednesday. The reason why I asked to have this removed and either bring it back to finance, and maybe we still give them the 279, maybe we give them 179, but to just say, hey, it's school, so they get all their money that they asked for, is not financially responsible this time because we don't know how much money we don't have yet. We don't know how deep these cuts. We don't know. We could be looking at we could be looking at this kind of cut every year for years on end. I mean, the financial hardship that we could be facing and that the schools could be facing could be substantially greater than this. So being a little austere up in the front will allow us to have more flexibility down the road. We spend all the money right off the bat. We could just dump the savings account and give the school district every single dime they ask for and every single deferred maintenance project. And then when we can't make, it'll lessen our ability to make decisions down the road. The state just gave us a great example. What happens? They had $16 billion for 3 years. They just kept everything the same, which is what this course of action is. And at the end of the 3 years, they're like, oh, wow, now we're really out of money. I'm asking us to be a little bit more austere, be a little bit tighter with the purse strings right now, so that way when the damage is coming, we have better flexibility. The more money we have on hand, the better we're going to be able to adjust to whatever situation is thrown at us. I'm going to be the ringing the conservative bell here saying we can't just do business as usual, which is what this 279 is. You gave to the cap, so you're giving us to the cap. Well, that was before we were looking at financial destruction for our community. So holding off on just a little small piece that is less than 1% of the cap, that we've already given them is not a a dereliction of duty to our school district, to our children, to the school children. It's looking out over the big interest of the community as a whole. We need to be able to protect the school district for the entirety of this operation or for the entirety of this emergency and not just right here in the beginning. So I am trying to look out for the school children. I am trying to look out for our whole budgetary concerns. And it, forgive me, I just wanted to reel it in a little bit. It's only going to give us more ability in the future. Thank you for allowing me to speak again on this, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Hale, you're after Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I very much understand where Mr. Bryson's coming from. We just don't know the scope or the scale of how this is all going to play out, and the city using its financial capacity well, I think, can definitely help keep our city going along, our community going along better. I guess I'm going to vote to keep it on the consent agenda because, just for people listening at home, this is just the ordinance being introduced. It will then come up in a few weeks for an actual vote. So this is just one step. I'm willing to kind of see that move ahead. We can kind of reevaluate in a few weeks. I also need to follow up and see if we don't appropriate the $279,000, does that affect the state's additional contribution? You know, I don't know that.
Mr. Watt, you want to answer that question? We know it's no, but you can answer it.
Madam Mayor, no, I don't think it affects the state's contribution.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hale.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. I would ask my colleague, Mr. Bryson, to be somewhat cautious in his characterization. I believe you talked about this leading to the destruction of our community, and that if we spend this $279,000, which we've already committed to funding to the cap, but if we spend this money, we might as well just throw the entire $16 million in our reserves away, because that's what this is leading to. It is not, and I agree with Ms. Treem that what we don't want to do at a moment like this is start making rash decisions. We have to make the good decisions and the right decisions. Our finance and our budgeting for next year is going to be very, very difficult. We don't need to start doing that for the present fiscal year and making rash decisions based on what's happening right now. And so I think that I very much support keeping this on the consent agenda, and I very much support us talking about it, hearing public testimony at the next assembly meeting that we have, and then discussing it and voting on it at that time. This won't lead to the ruin of the city.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That was the reason why I asked it to go back to finance, because I knew this warranted more discussion. And so I wasn't trying to make any rash decisions, and that's what prompted my request for it to go to finance and not to another committee, because then I thought it could receive more discussion. So I was only trying to use the procedures in front of me or available to me.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Seeing no other hands, it's finally Ms. Huskan.
Keep it so tiny, Madam Mayor. Thank you. I would just like to say that I then procedurally would look forward to you could introduce an amendment when we get to the public hearing, I think would be more appropriate. And I would also just point out that there is a bid award also in the consent agenda, and I don't know if that's on your docket, but there's other things here, and I'm not trying to give you ideas. I'm just pointing out that there are other places the city is spending money as well, so be looking at those with eagle eyes in addition to the schools.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Gannis. Okay, quick, I'm jumping in. I would agree with Mr. Bryson in theory, and I think we need to carefully look at all the money we spent, especially to the cap for the education this time around, because we don't know how long school will be out of session. However, this is not the appropriate time for that. I believe the ordinance needs to be introduced. We'll have the public weigh in on this, and we'll see it at public hearing, in which you can do amendments to your heart content. So with that, I think everybody's talked. So we have a motion and objection. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So for Ordinance 2019-07A to be referred back to the Assembly Finance Committee, Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson.
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
No.
Ms. Hale.
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes.
No.
Mr. Jones.
No.
Mr. Smith.
No.
Ms. Treen.
No.
Mayor Weldon.
No.
Motion fails.
Are there any other assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Hearing and seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the consent agenda, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, consent agenda is approved. Okay, let's get through a couple of these public hearings before we take our next break. Item A, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2020-12, an ordinance authorizing the manager to convey city and borough property located in Lemon Creek to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has requested to purchase four small fractions of lots totaling 2,368 square feet along the Glacier Highway right-of-way in the vicinity of Renninger Street in Lemon Creek. The DOT intends to improve Glacier Highway from Vanderbilt Road towards the old Walmart property. Parks and Rec Advisory Committee provided a positive recommendation for this proposal at its November 2, 2019 meeting. On January 8, 2020, the Planning Commission found the project consistent with CBJ adopted plans. Lands Committee reviewed the request on February 10, 2020 and provided a motion of support to the Assembly. The city will dispose of this property to the DOT for fair market value as determined by appraisal and waiver valuation. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2020-12 and ask unanimous consent.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, this ordinance is approved. Item B, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Resolution 2880, a resolution authorizing the manager to convey easements located along Glacier Highway in the Lemon Creek area to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has requested five temporary construction easements and one permanent easement. The easements would be used to improve Glacier Highway from Vanderbilt Road towards the old Walmart property. The PRAC provided a positive recommendation for this proposal at its meeting on November 2, 2019. January 8, 2020, the Planning Commission found the project consistent with CBJ adopted plans. Lands Committee reviewed this request on February 10, 2020 and provided a motion of support to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move Resolution 2880 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, this motion has passed. Item C, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2020-13, an ordinance authorizing the manager to convey city and borough property located in the Mendenhall Valley to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has requested to purchase 25,050 square feet of city property for Mendenhall Loop Road improvements for traffic flow, safety, and to meet current standards. Planning Commission reviewed this project on June 11, 2019 and found it consistent with CBJ adopted plans. On January 7, 2020,
Parks and Rec Advisory Committee provided a positive recommendation with conditions. Lands Committee reviewed this on February 10, 2020, and provided a motion of support to the Assembly. The city will dispose of this property to the DOT for fair market value as determined by appraisal. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move it to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2020-13, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, this motion passes. Item number D, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Resolution 2881, a resolution authorizing the manager to convey easements located along Mendenhall Loop Road to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
State DOT has requested 3 temporary construction easements and 1 permanent easement. The easements would be used to improve Mendenhall Loop Road near Floyd Dryden Middle School and Stephen Richards Memorial Drive. Planning Commission reviewed this project on June 11, 2019 and found it consistent with CBJ adopted plans. The PRAC provided a positive recommendation at its meeting on January 7, 2020. Lands Committee reviewed this request on February 10, 2020 and provided a motion of support to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Resolution 2881 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, this motion passes. Okay, with that, let's take a break till 9:15.
Senior Services is hiring for our senior centers in Angoon, Juneau, Craig Kluwak, Una, Saxman Ketchikan, Sitka, and Yakutat. We're hiring both full and part-time positions, including site managers, cooks, and drivers. Flexible hours and benefits available. For more details, visit ccsjuneau.org or call 907-463-6777, a division of Catholic Community Service, United Way Partner.
She's the one I-
If you're a KTOO member, there's a good chance you've gotten a letter or email from us over the last few weeks. We're asking you to make sure your membership is up to date, and if it is, we hope you'll give an additional gift this spring. Your contributions pay for all of the programs you listen to each day and help fund the up-to-the-minute news at KTOO.org you depend on. Renew or make an additional gift today at KTOO.org.
You're listening to live coverage of the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly meeting. The Assembly is currently in recess. We're just waiting for them to come back in about 2 minutes.
That, Madam Treem, do we have you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, and Ms. Hale?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Item E, Ordinance 2019-37, an ordinance amending the Land Use Code to repeal and replace the Non-Conforming Development Code.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
A non-conforming situation occurs, for example, when a house is lawfully constructed, but due to an amendment to Title 49, the house could not be rebuilt today. A designation of non-conforming has caused some lenders in Juneau to require higher down payment amounts and other terms, which makes buying and selling certain properties extremely difficult. This ordinance would repeal the existing Title 49 non-conforming code and replace it with regulatory provisions that better reflect our community values. Unlike the current non-conforming code, this ordinance would emphasize that most non-conforming housing situations could be rebuilt if the residential structure was accidentally destroyed, like by fire or avalanche. This ordinance also codifies the current practice of community development to determine if a development is conforming, non-conforming, or non-compliant. This ordinance should make buying and selling most non-conforming residential developments easier while protecting the community from harmful non-conforming developments. Planning Commission recommended amending the non-conforming provisions of Title 49 after holding multiple public meetings, including August 27, September 17, and October 15, 2019. The Assembly Committee of the Whole reviewed this topic on December 9, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. We'll start back with you, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-37, Ordinance amending the Land Use Code to repeal and replace the Non-Conforming Development Code, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion passes. Item F, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2020-06, an ordinance amending the Land Use Code, repealing the Subdivision Review Committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Mann.
The Subdivision Review Committee is a four-member advisory committee of the Planning Commission created to review and comment on subdivisions. However, the Subdivision Review Committee has not convened in a long time, as most subdivisions are now reviewed and approved by the Community Development Department Director, and because of the minor subdivision limit of 4 lots, increased to 13 lots in 2015. By repealing the requirement for the Subdivision Review Committee, this ordinance would eliminate authority conflicts between the SRC and the Director, and it would maintain the impartiality of planning commissioners to review major subdivisions and appeals of minor subdivisions. When the Planning Commission updated its rules of order on December 10, 2019, it recommended the Assembly repeal the requirement to have a subdivision review committee. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2020-06, and I ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that ordinance passes. Item G, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2020-07, an ordinance amending the comprehensive plan related to historic and cultural preservation.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would repeal the 1981 Downtown Historic District Development Plan and replace it with a new historic and cultural preservation plan. The new plan provides greater access to grants, greater acknowledgement of Juneau's cultural history, and greater preservation of Juneau's historical buildings and properties. The Planning Commission reviewed this ordinance on November 12 and 26, 2019, and recommended the Assembly adopt it as part of the comprehensive plan. Assembly Committee of the Whole reviewed this ordinance on February 10, 2020, and referred it to the Assembly for introduction. Hard copy versions of the plan are available at the clerks and community development departments. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? And hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve ordinance 2020-07 and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion passes. Okay, I see there's no unfinished business or new business staff reports. Mr. Manager.
I have no staff reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. It brings us to Assembly reports. For the Mayor's report, I think enough has been said about most everything other than to just remind everybody we're all in this together as a community. And an idea that was sent to me today was our restaurants, bars, and retail businesses are really hurting right now. And something that you might consider doing is buying gift certificates. So that would give them some cash now, and at a later date you could use them. So I thought that was a good idea to share with everybody, so I passed it along. So with that, I will conclude my mayor's report and go to committee reports. First, we have human resources, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We passed ordinance 2020, We forwarded ordinance 2020-16, an ordinance that addressed the civil defense organization, and we forwarded ordinance 2020-15, an ordinance related to the continuity of government, and we forwarded those both to the Committee of the Whole. And that was, we already addressed the other resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Price.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Edwardson, Lands, Resources, and Economic Development.
I am trying to find my notes right now. If you want to bypass me, it might take.
Okay, we'll bypass you and go to Ms. Hale. Public Works.
Got to take you off mute. Madam Mayor, I am afraid to report that I have, there's been so much going on that I just don't have a report from Public Works.
That's understandable.
Thank you.
Ms. Vlasheski, Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met a week ago today and had a panel of people talking about COVID-19. It seems like a long time ago, one whole week. Things have changed in one whole week, but we had a great panel with lots of good information. We did our first Facebook Live. We've been improving on that technology since then, and that is the Committee of the Whole report.
Thank you, Ms. Vyashevsky. Mr. Jones, Finance.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Finance Committee met on March 11th. We reviewed the status of our budget, some anticipation about the finances going forward, given the economic times with COVID-19. The manager and the finance department are preparing the city's budget. I believe that on April 1st, we will get the manager's budget, and we will, along with that, probably get an update of things we need to consider trying to look down the road about possible revenue. I was not going to be at the April 1st meeting. It appears that I probably will. I think the Alcohol Beverage Control Board and the Marijuana Control Board, if we meet in April are probably going to be doing that by phone and maybe a series of meetings. So I will be here on April 1st. I would just remind people that we have our packet of all of the finance meetings the last couple, 3 months. You have the three-ring binder. Make sure you bring that and have that reviewed. And if tonight on just simply removing something from the consent agenda is any indication, plan for some very long finance committee meetings. They will not be easy. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't believe we've had a school facility meeting since our last.
I was going to schedule that in June and haven't done that yet.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back to lands. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On March 2nd, we had a land committee meeting. We had a presentation from Mr. Chamber about the downtown housing inventory and some new ways that they're collecting information. We discussed the sale of gravel for housing development at reduced cost for commercial entities, and that the committee wasn't interested in pushing that forward to the COW or the assembly. Driveway easement we talked about on North Douglas Island, downtown summer shelter, Thane campground relocation. That's where I think it's Parks and Rec is going to be working on moving the Thane campground to a safer location, closer to town, easier to access, easier to provide services, and easier to patrol. The manager gave a discussion on variances, just an informational discussion to the committee. That was a subject that came up a month or two ago, and there were several assembly members interested in that discussion, so it was good information. And then we did a little bit more talking about the request to expand the fire service area farther north, on the north end of town, and we referred that to the committee of the whole for discussion with all the assembly members. And that was it for the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Glashevsky is waiving the Eelcrest operation. So, Ms. Treem, the visitor industry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Our last assembly meeting feels like it was a lifetime ago. But since that meeting, the visitor industry task force has met twice to work on the draft of our recommendations, which currently seem a little less urgent than they did when the task force started. We had two meetings where we went over those recommendations, and I just want to say that I think the committee has done a really great job coming up with them, and also thank the staff for working on them. We have a meeting scheduled for Thursday, although one of the committee members pointed out today that any meeting of our committee would be a gathering of more than 10. So I think I will have to talk to staff and probably you, Madam Mayor, about whether or not we should hold that meeting this week. But if we do hold that meeting this week, I think it might be our last or penultimate meeting, and then we will have recommendations to forward to the assembly.
Thanks, Ms. Treem, and we can certainly talk about extending your deadline because our world has changed. Okay, that's the committee reports. We'll just go. Actually, I'll just ask, does anybody have any comments? I don't believe we have a presiding officer report. Mr. Bryson.
I was so excited. I want to tell everybody I got to do a firefighter ride along on the 28th, and so I got to drive in the big yellow truck that goes on the airport, and I got to ride in an ambulance. I got to ride in our firefighter trucks. This is my first time ever being in the front seat of a firefighter truck. I'm sorry, Madam Mayor. I know we're behind time, but I was so excited. I got to do a firefighter ride along, and it was a blast. I don't know if anybody here can relate to that.
Possibly, but I would call it a lime green truck, not a yellow truck.
But it was awesome. Let me shoot the little water cannon with the. It was, yeah.
That would be called a turret. Ms. Houston,
Madam Mayor,
do you have any comments?
I attended my committees that I liaison to, and they're working on good stuff.
All right, good. Mr. Jones, I'm just going down the list.
Thank you.
The Juneau School District met on March 10th for their regular meeting. They approve the 21-22 school schedule. They also had their first reading on the their budget. I believe there's a meeting Thursday, the 19th. I have not heard that that has changed. I believe at that time they will pass their budget in second reading so that they can then present that to the city so that it's part of our finance meeting on April 1st. And I have not heard that that meeting has been changed. Despite all of the things the school district is going through, they still have to meet the statutory deadlines for the budget.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Some actions, the Planning Commission, they are moving our city ahead and developing quality projects. I guess if, just to drive it home one more time, just so people hear, flattening the curve. This is, it may not be that you're at risk. It's to prevent the spread to vulnerable people and to make it so our healthcare system can provide the care that people will need. It's doing things like taking care of yourself, washing your hands, staying home if you are sick, practicing social distancing. We've heard this a lot, but just to drive home how important it is, you don't want to be the one who gets your grandparents sick or who infects somebody who gets their grandparents sick. I read over the weekend about a person in South Korea who essentially has got 1,200 people infected. That is why it's important to do these things. It is serious. We can do this, and we just all have to take serious effort to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Trying to find what date it was. On the 10th, the airport board met, and one of the things that they talked about, a lot of things, but one of the things that they talked about was the budget and how previous budget forecasts forecast deficits. But the revenue ended up being more than what was expected. They do not expect that to happen this year for a couple of reasons. One is they're losing revenue because the remodeling has started, the reconstruction. And the other is they're losing revenue from lack of passengers because of the COVID-19 pandemic. I don't think anybody can forecast how much that's going to be, but that's not just going to affect the amount of revenue that we come in. That's going to affect the amount of revenue that becomes available as well, because of, you know, some of the formulas are based on the number of passengers who land here. So that's what they're looking at. They had a finance meeting scheduled for March 12th. I haven't gotten that, but I do expect to see an email from it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Sorry. Ms. Dream?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. The Aquatics Board met on February 25th, and they got an overview of the upcoming renovations to Augustus Brown Pool, and there were quite a few public in attendance who got to see that presentation. Well, the pools are closed right now, but there is a survey for Augustus Brown users at the pool when the pool opens back up to help aquatic staff plan for the temporary closure later this year. And that's all I have to report.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Train. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've had Downtown Business Association meetings and Commission on Aging meetings, both of which certainly have concerns that relate quite, I guess, immediately to what's going on with the whole COVID-19 situation. But I won't really bear down on those a lot. I would like to talk a little bit, because I'm hearing from a lot of constituents about closing bars and or closing restaurants that has happened in other places. And I know that's a real hit to those bars and restaurants. which is very concerning economically, but there's also huge concern by people that that those are real places where the disease could be transmitted. So I would like to at least put it out here for the assembly and for the city manager to really think about that. There are two positive cases in Fairbanks that the manager had mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, and these are two people that traveled from outside and have been circulating in the community. So, you know, we expect that we have that here. And I think bars in particular, when you get to Friday night, are still likely quite packed, and that's a little scary. And I'd really like to think about when we want to make that decision.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Blaszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As we have been amplifying the messages coming from the federal and state partners, I'd like to amplify one I heard Dr. Zink say this afternoon, and this is a prescription from a doctor, and treat this virus not with fear, but with community. I thought that was a very useful prescription as we navigate together as Alaskans and as Junoites. The more individuals can restrict our movements now, the more we can delay mandates. As we navigate our way through this, repeat something I said earlier and people have said again and again, please be kind to one another. Lots of different reactions going around. Some people more concerned for various reasons than others. Please treat your friends and neighbors with more kindness than ever. And the message is not that we have this and to calm down. The message is that your friends and neighbors are working on this 24/7. If you want to volunteer, if you want to help, please contact city officials. We'll find some way you can do that. The people here are hardworking, thoughtful, dedicated, and working hard. And there are a lot of people, we're getting a lot of messages from the community with people with good ideas. We'll have to get some system to filter all those good ideas and get people together and groups together to fashion Juno answers to things that we're missing. Because there's lots of good people with great minds and time and ideas to help our community through this. So I'll just repeat it. Treat the virus not with fear, but with community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Blaszewski. And the two resolutions we passed this, the beginning, that long time ago when we started, give us a little bit more freedom and a little more ease to move faster. So in response to your question, Ms. Hale, I would say that we just gave our city manager some tools if needed, and he is monitoring public health and CDC hourly, if not minutely, and if we need to move something quickly, we can certainly do so.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Ms.
If I could speak to that, I agree completely, and I am really, really proud of our city manager and the work he's doing, and I know he will keep doing the right thing because he's doing it for this community that he and we love. So thank you very much, Mr. Watt.
He says you're welcome. And that goes to our other staff too. Ms. Cosgrove had to jump in feet first and
come sure did.
Back, and Mr. Palmer has been great, and Madam Clerk has been keeping everybody's social distancing well. So with that, I don't see any other items before the assembly, so we are adjourned.
That concludes tonight's coverage of the Juno Assembly meeting.